welcome to Turn the Page, the official podcast of the Syosset Public Library.
Jessica with Syosset Library's Turn the Page podcast, and I'm super excited to have our guests today. And I'm going to explain why one of these guests I'm specifically excited about in Turn the Page history, because now we have over 100 episodes under our belts, and like people actually are starting to listen to us and enjoy the episodes. So we have Melissa Argetta, who is the project manager at Newsday's Faces of Long Island Project. And we have Jay Max, who is a freelance writer for the Faces of Long Island Project from Newsday. Now, Jay Max is, not only did we go to high school together, but
yes, we did.
But technically, you were the first person that we interviewed for Turn the Page.
I can't believe it. First of all, thank you so much for having me back on. But just to know I was there the very first time you turned on the mic, and now all these episodes later and so many great guests and interviews, to be back on is amazing. So thank you.
I think it all comes full circle, because again, we knew each other in high school, and our first interview, you were talking about some great things that you're doing, and every time I see you anywhere, you're doing amazing things. And then this project came up, and you know, I've been waiting for the right moment to say, Jay, come back on and let's do a follow-up. So I did. And then now Melissa is here with us. Let's talk about Faces of Long Island first. So when did the Faces of Long Island project launch?
So it started in December of 2020, and something we'd been working on over the summer and the fall. It launched officially late November, early December, we started posting. And it's a social media, primarily a social media project, where we're profiling all types of Long Islanders, interesting people who have really amazing stories, and we're sharing them in their own words. So it's a really exciting project.
And you can find them on Facebook and Instagram, which are both great places to find this type of content. Yeah. So the stories, how are they written? Do they give you bullet points and you just kind of string them together? Are they in their own words?
It's been a really fun and interesting project to work on, and to kind of figure out the flow and how to get these amazing stories from people, and then also how to then communicate it through the social media channels. So we actually go and interview each subject either in person, if it's something that we're able to do, obviously now socially distanced, and when it's colder, more and more on Zoom. So we interview and record the stories. And then I think where I get to be really creative is in how it's kind of edited together, because it's very important to note that every story is in the person's own words. So I don't add any words. I don't change anything. The biggest change would be if someone specifically mentions, you know, a name of somebody or a specific college or something like that. I would make it, generalize it more, because we don't necessarily want to promote any specific institution unless it's very, very, very relevant to the story. But other than that, where I bring my spin is, how do I take all of, like, maybe sometimes a half an hour of an amazing, amazing interview and, you know, winnow it down to what essentially is on Instagram, maybe 400, 500 words. And as someone who's in stories or your trade, you know how little 500 or 400 words is, especially when somebody's telling you sometimes an incredible tale or multiple tales. So then I go through and I say, how can I tell something that will be powerful, that will resonate, but that has a beginning, a middle, and an end? Especially when people are telling stories, it's usually not necessarily a linear thing. People, they'll remember something, they'll go to something else. So I really have to look through. And then when it all does come together, and I go back and I read this, the story, and I'm like, wow, this is so powerful. And you know, the thing is, sometimes the last word that somebody says, the last sentence that they say, might end up being the first sentence, because at the very, very end, I'll hear them say something. I'm like, oh my God, that's the opening line. One of the last profiles was of a rabbi. And one of the things he said later on in the interview was, one thing I knew right away was growing up was that I didn't want to be a rabbi, something to that effect.
That said, yeah, that was a great one.
Thank you.
That was the beginning. That's really the beginning of the story.
That's the beginning. And so once he said that, my mind starts going, even during the interview in real time, I said, okay, now I know that's going to be the opener. And then I go back in and look through and see, how can I build the story around that with what they said? And with that one, it just happened to be this incredible journey of what brought him to this vocation, especially starting out not wanting to, you know, necessarily follow in his father's footsteps. And so that's a little bit about the process.
Do you go out looking for the stories, or will you get like a tip from someone? Will somebody say, hey, you know, I know somebody who would be really interesting to write about?
We've had all types of scenarios. We've had people DMing us. We've had some of the writers know interesting people, or they talk to people that they know, and then that person knows somebody else. They've been nominated. I'd like to nominate, you know, my doctor, because he's such a great unsung hero. And we've had sort of all these types of scenarios. It's really amazing that the stories have come from all different types of tips. People can email us, or they can go to facesoflongisland.com and let us know if they have an idea for a story, or they can DM us on Facebook or Instagram and submit an idea for a story, and we'll definitely respond if it fits with the project. Well, we've had some great stories that way. So it's been really exciting to get the feedback from readers.
And I'm just thinking now, I believe, Jay, somebody who we both went to high school with was featured on this, Dr. Uzma Syed, am I correct?
Yes, I was waiting for you to bring that up. And that was one of the very, like, very, very beginning, early on, you know,
the first story, I think, Jay.
I think the first story. And yeah, it just kind of goes back to what Melissa said, is, you know, you never know where you're going to find a story, or how something's going to come into play. And yeah, with that particular story, I knew that she is so interesting, so intelligent and educated. And I kind of went in there thinking that just because of what was going on with the pandemic, that maybe we would be speaking more about her experiences with that, potentially.
Since she's an epidemiologist.
Yes, exactly. So that's kind of where I was maybe thinking, okay, there's so much we could discuss there, and just get her personal experiences with what she was dealing with. But then we kind of started also talking, because she's, in her words, she's a visibly Muslim woman of faith, and she wears the hijab. And we started speaking about that. And what was really interesting, because we did know her since high school, and she didn't wear that in high school. And that the whole story of how that kind of came to be a part of her life, something which happened in college, it was so interesting and powerful. And another thing about this project is, for me, what I'm personally attracted to is that it's about diversity, and it's about including all stories, all perspectives, whether that be cultural, religious, you know, LGBTQ+, really the gamut of the richness of the tapestry that is the people that make up Long Island. And so when she started talking about that journey, that just, it touched me and it resonated with me. So I said, well, that's what we need to talk about. And it was beautiful, beautiful to see the responses, this especially so early on. I mean, we didn't have the followers that we do now. I mean, now I think, Melissa, it's like 10,000 followers, social followers.
Yeah, between Facebook and Instagram, and we're growing every day. And it's great. We've gotten so many amazing responses from readers. And I think it's always the story behind the story, right, Jay? That you were maybe going to ask her about her job as an epidemiologist, and you ended up talking about her faith and how her hijab and how the beautiful story of how that unfolded. It's just so great that we end up finding these jewels of stories that are within the story. So I think that's really exciting. I'm so impressed by how many different stories we're getting. Just never would have imagined in your life how many people are living out here and have their own special story. Everyone is unique and amazing, in my opinion. So.
And we are scheduling the interviews. I would say 99.9% of the time, we take the photos of the person, their profile photos. So I actually go there, the other freelance writers go and take the photos of the person, and then you're trying to get supplemental photos and then the editing time. So each one of these very kind of short stories, there's a lot of time that goes into it. But there are several freelance writers that are a part of this project. And so between all of us, we've been able to kind of amass in a relatively short time, you know, several profiles.
And many more coming.
Many more, great. Yes. Yeah, I have so many in the works. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, I think once content begins flowing and growing, it just sort of grows, like it outgrows you, and you kind of, like you're in this garden and you're just like, I don't remember planting all of these seeds, but they're turning into amazing things and I can't wait to harvest them. So yeah.
It is. And, you know, Melissa will, you know, sometimes she'll reach out and say, I have this amazing, you know, this amazing story that this someone just, you know, emailed or DM'd, and I'll look it up. I'm like, oh my God, this is incredible. So I'll be like, I can't do any more right now. I have to put this for next month because there's just so many stories coming in. But yeah, everybody that comes in is considered. And if we can, and if it's the right fit, we definitely will profile them because these are stories that need to be heard. And I have to say, you know, being a freelance writer and having done editorials and, you know, feature stories before, and I've done interviews, some, you know, big, you know, celebrities as well, and which is always exciting. But I have to say, I feel a really strong sense of personal responsibility with these stories, because these are not necessarily celebrities. These aren't people who have ever thought that they would share these very sometimes personal, intimate stories. I feel like for them to open up to me, I really put a lot of responsibility on myself to make sure that I'm being as respectful as I can, and I'm telling these stories in a respectful way. And that it's, even though it's in their words, I am the one who's editing it. And even down to the photos, you know, I want to capture that person. These aren't big staged photo shoots. It's just me with my iPhone. And sometimes a few of the people have said, you know, what should I wear? And I said, whatever you would wear, that's what you should wear, because this is about capturing you. And I really try my best to have their personalities and who they are shine through, both in the photos and in the stories, because at the end of the day, I want every person who's involved in this that I've spoken with to have a really positive experience, because it is such a positive project. And like Melissa said, the comments that people are leaving are, it's rare on social media to find something that is 99.9% like nice comments. Like Melissa, you could speak to that, but I mean, were you as like surprised as I was in a way to see that?
Just, I'm so proud of Long Islanders because they're so kind and so compassionate and so encouraging to people who are sharing, you know, such tough, there's a lot of tough stories too of people overcoming cancer, drug addiction, you know, people who have disabilities who've, you know, Jay interviewed one woman who suffered from really difficult MS experience with MS, and she's managed to overcome and really fight back, and she's such an inspiration. But there's just been so many positive people saying, you know, your story inspired me, and now, you know, this has just really meant a lot, and a lot of, you know, great, just really wonderful responses. And I'm just really proud of Long Islanders for being so positive, because we wanted to create something that was really inspirational in a time of a pandemic, and really, you know, share with the community feel of how Long Islanders feel about Long Island and each other, and a supportive community that it is. And I'm just so proud of everyone who's been involved in the project so far, and all the readers have been just as amazing as the people that we profile.
Yeah, I think, I mean, the stories, they, the way that they focus on the life experiences of the people and just like the little nuances. Yeah, and that's really important because there are probably a lot of people on Long Island who might feel like they're in their own island mm-hmm. until they realize that they're connected to others through, if it, even if it is just like a small experience, or, you know, they never thought that somebody considered something that way before, or they hadn't been exposed to something.
Yes.
It's really important to just see that this is your community.
Mm-hmm. And opening your eyes to, it could be your neighbor or someone that you might've met down the street but never spoke to, and now you're hearing their story, and when you connect to their story, you connect to them and you see them in a light that, you know, I think is a really positive light. And it's really about celebrating that diversity and inclusion that to me is just personally gratifying, and the stories are just really reflect that community.
To what Melissa was saying with people learning something new, that's also one of the most exciting things for me, is when not only do I learn something new, but then I feel like the reader will as well. You know, I recently profiled a Native American to hear a little bit about their, and there was so much I couldn't even get into the story because there, you know, we spoke for a long time, but there was, you know, just to hear her perspective in her words, and just from research I've done, you know, Native Americans are not represented a lot in various industries, whether it's media, entertainment. You know, she's a lawyer, and she was saying, yes, you know, there's only 2% of, you know, lawyers are Native American. So to, for me to be able to speak with her, I learned so much. And, you know, for other people to, and there was some conversation like on Facebook, you saw people were speaking about, you know, their own experiences, what they learned in elementary school, what they didn't. So just that sense of community that is kind of being formed by people who are, you know, followers of the accounts. I feel like they're more than followers. They're a part of this community, whether they are just reading, whether they're liking, engaging, leaving comments, whether they're nominating people. It's kind of forming this little mini community. Well, actually, it's not so mini anymore, but no. It's really, really nice. I love it.
Yeah, that was a really interesting story as well. And that 2% number, you know, it was, again, it was one of those things I hadn't thought about before. And it really kind of blew my mind, because there is a lot of talk about agency in the Native American communities and the Indigenous communities, which we have definitely on Long Island. And you know, being able to practice law and being able to advocate for law, and knowing that you're only represented by 2% of lawyers, you know, that was very interesting to me. That was like a bit of a mind-blowing moment.
Yeah. Well, that's why I feel like, you know, your, this podcast, you know, Turn the Page, it's all about stories. And
yes.
The you know, your listeners, and just, I know you yourself, you are that's your passion. I mean, your career is in stories, and mm-hmm. you know, your listeners are, you know, are very passionate about stories. And you know, in a way, this is kind of like a library, in a way, that we have this library of life, but of real stories of real people. And which sometimes, you know, real stories are 100 times stranger than fiction.
Yes, absolutely.
And so that's why we, you know, it's just so, some of these things are incredible. What people have gone through, or just their life experiences just being so different than your own. And so I think no matter what, someone will get something out of reading these stories and following these accounts. You know, we do have ones that are very serious, or ones that are very intimate and powerful, but then there's some that are actually just fun and funny or romantic.
There's one woman who, she ended up buying chickens at Chicken Palooza, and she and she bought a few, and then they turned into, two turned into four turned into 10, and before she knew it, she had 70 chickens living in her backyard. And she's taking care of all these chickens, and she loves it, and it all of a sudden become a lot of people are doing that right now, taking care of chickens. And I didn't know that that was a thing, but she's part of a group that has chickens, and it's just a fun, she, you know, the picture of her is with the chickens, and I love the story. It's just a fun, lighthearted story. And then we have, you know, for Valentine's Day, we featured some really interesting people. One couple who met, they were best friends in first grade, and you know, they have a picture of themselves in first grade holding hands, and they ended up going their separate ways and eventually coming back and getting engaged, and now they're married. So she never thought that she would end up meeting the person that she was supposed to be with all along. So I just think there's some really inspiring stories and fun stories too. There's, you know, they're serious and fun. There's a little bit of something for everyone, I think.
I love that one. Like, especially like, you know, around Valentine's Day, you know, being single, I read that one and I was like, oh my God, it gives me hope. It makes me so happy. So yeah, some of these are, they definitely make you put, some of them put smiles on your faces, some of them, you know, put tears in your eyes, but I don't think you could read any and not feel some emotion, which is, you know, that just says a lot to Long Islanders. It says a lot to the lives that we lead.
So what I'm really curious about, because we've gotten such a nice full picture of the project as a whole, and maybe even not, because it sounds like there's just so much to it, it would be impossible to fit it into such a small period of time, which is why we urge listeners, if you have not already followed the project, please do, and we'll put information about it on the blog part of the podcast. So if you are not yet a follower, you can become one. So how did this project come to be is my question.
I work in the marketing side of Newsday, and you know, we wanted to create a project where we could have a social media presence, because Newsday is primarily, you know, it's online and it's in print, but we wanted to do a social project where we could really highlight some of the stories that aren't covered maybe in the newspaper. And these are stories, they're not editorial stories, they're stories written in people's own words. So it's almost like a photo blog, or, you know, a composite project of people's stories. And we thought it would be, we were inspired by that idea that we could have a place for people to shine a light on stories that they might not ever hear otherwise. And we wanted to try it and see how people would respond. And we took a chance. And I think it's, you know, so far the reaction's been phenomenal. So I'm really, really excited about the project. And I think it's really giving people a chance to share their little slice of life with everyone, and feel like it's a safe space where they can really talk about something that, you know, in their life that they really, you know, either never talked about or never had a chance to share with the world. So
what a great way to use social media. And it's a really good way to bring empathy into the big picture. And I love before when you were saying that the comments have been 99% positive, that just fills me with so much joy.
It really, it's amazing to me. I was almost surprised, because, you know, if you just go on Twitter for 5 minutes, it's usually always negative. And, you know, to see the comments coming in day after day, story after story, and it's just a flood of positivity and happiness and people really feeling good, and people writing us directly saying, you know, thank you for doing this. I wish that, you know, someone had done this sooner, and how, you know, they really are touched by these stories and inspired. And that to me is what storytelling is all about, and sharing stories and making an impact on people's lives one story at a time, I think is the best mission that we could ever have as writers and in media, I think. So for me, it's very gratifying. I'm really proud to be a part of it.
And Jay, how did you find your way to this project?
Well, I, you know, was lucky enough to have, you know, worked with Melissa in the past. And so she very early on in the project, she kind of reached out and said, you know, we're starting this thing, you know, would it be something that you would, you know, want to be a part of? is a freelance writer. And I didn't even have to hear what it was. I just knew if Melissa's doing it, it's something I want to be a part of. So I was like, yes. And then I was like, okay, now tell me about it. and then when she started saying the idea, I was like, this sounds, you know, incredible. And it's so different than anything that I've ever done before. So we just kind of had meetings, and then, you know, along with the other writers and other people involved in this project, there's like a whole team of really creative and talented people that are at Newsday that are behind this project. And and then it kind of started, and then it took a life of its own from there. And it's something that I, like I said, you know, there's so much that I do. I feel like I'm involved. I'm lucky enough to be involved in a lot of different creative ventures and a lot of things that bring me joy in a lot of ways. But this brings me, I always say that the other stuff I do feeds my creativity or feeds something else in me, but this really feeds my soul, this project, because it is such a positive thing. And also something you feel like you're really in some way affecting somebody's life. Like when Melissa said about an impact before, you know, it makes me think of a profile I did of a woman, a married couple, but I, you know, specifically she was telling me about this horrific car accident that she had gotten in with her and her husband. And it was a young college girl who was driving, and the other car was texting just for a minute. She looked down to look at a text, and they had a collision, and that girl died. Yeah. And all of these, you know, as I'm sitting there in their, you know, their parlor, and she's telling me the story. And all of these years later, I think it was maybe 9 years later, Melissa, you could correct me if I'm wrong the years, but, you know, a significant amount of time later, and she's crying as she's telling me this story as if it happened yesterday. I mean, I felt terrible. I'm like, I don't want to make somebody cry, but she felt it so important to, you know, to tell the story and to get the word about the dangers of texting and driving. And so the story gets posted, and there's a tremendous amount of activity on social, especially on Facebook, with the amount of shares. And then a moment for me, and this was kind of early on, but a moment for me that really, really, you know, solidified how I feel about this project is I'm reading some of the comments, and one of the comments was I believe it was a guy who said, a younger guy, and said, you know, I sometimes look at Spotify when I'm driving, and I look at my phone, and, you know, I'm not going to do that anymore. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow. And I, you know, I said, so for her, having gone through this traumatic and, you know, devastating thing you would never want to go through, but by being willing to tell that story and open herself up in that way, and to put it out there, she is literally potentially changing people's lives and saving lives. To read people who actively said, I'm going to change this behavior because of what you went through. I mean, what better gift can you get from working on a creative project than to know something like that? So, and there's not very many other projects that you could be involved with that, as a writer, that you would feel that. So, it's really great. And I feel very lucky that Melissa was able to, you know, have me be a part of it.
Well, this has all been really cool. I wanted to ask you, because I know that nothing happens in a bubble. Mm-hmm. So I know that, Melissa, you've been involved in Newsday for a while. And by the way, as you're all speaking about this, I keep thinking to myself, what better of a publication to be doing something like Faces of Long Island, because Newsday is Long Island. Newsday has always been the newspaper of Long Island.
80 years.
Yep. But Newsday is, I mean, it. So good job. So Jay, I know that you also have a foot in the music industry. Yes. Last time we spoke, we talked specifically about the children's music industry, and I know you're still involved in that, but you've had another project which has been very well received as well. Would you like to talk a little bit about what's going on with that?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I can give a, I know it's, I feel like we just did that first interview yesterday, but then I think back, I'm like, no, we did it at a very crowded convention and nobody was wearing masks. So that was definitely not yesterday.
That feels like it was 20 years ago.
It was 20 years ago, even though it was just a couple of years. It was, yeah, it feels like lifetimes ago, but yeah. So, but still very excited to be involved in the kids music world that I am. My songwriting partner and I, we did a lot of work with the Dora the Explorer franchise and Sesame Street. We recently were able to work on a new show, which I know that you have said your kids were fans of, Blaze and the Monster Machines.
Oh my gosh, yes. My kids love Blaze and Pickle and all of the Monster Machines. They are huge fans of that.
Yeah, so I was very excited to be able to have a song on the season that's currently on. The song itself, it premieres on April 23rd.
Excellent.
Yeah, and it was super fun. And it's like we were talking about before about stories and the Face of Long Island Project. I get to tell these incredible real stories, and then I get to then put on a different hat and pretend like I'm a singing truck. So it's
a challenge, Jay.
Yeah,
it's those, very interesting.
Yeah, the songs that they have on Blaze are ridiculously catchy that like my husband and I have kind of caught each other singing them. It's like, oh, see?
Yeah, so, well, it was really fun because they said, you know, they want a song like a kind of traveling type of song, and they really wanted it to be a different type of genre, you know, something. And that's the thing about kids music now, which you and I've talked a little bit about in the past about it. But you know, it's really changed as far as you don't write kids songs anymore. You write pop songs. Yes. And they just happen to be then put onto kids shows, but you don't write for kids. You just write great melodies and great lyrics. And if it's good, kids will love it. And then adults will love it. And, you know, and it'll get the message across. But yeah, so we gave a few different options in different genres. Like we went a little EDM on one, then we went more pop rock, and then just the one that ended up being selected. I think it's fun. So you have to let me know what you think after you hear it.
I'm going to. I'll be sending you a text. I'll be like, so.
Yeah. So that was super fun. And then really another exciting thing is outside of the kids' world is we do a lot of work in Asia, specifically through our publisher, our music publisher, and a song that called Girls, it really took off. Millions and millions. Thank you. Okay. Yeah. Millions of video views, and it kind of went viral as far as, you know, the TikTok dancing, you know, and people doing dances from it. But again, it was very positive, very, very positive. I would say the one thread about the stuff, all the different projects I do, is I feel that it just is about positivity in some way, you know, making, you know, people's day feel better, whether it's a child, whether it's an adult listening to music, whether it's reading a story. I just think it's really about that, you know, that good energy. And this song, it is a real kind of female empowerment type of song. And what's interesting is this is just a side note about it, because so we wrote the song in English, the lyrics, and then the melody, and then they translated it over in Taiwan. They translated it. And then when I watched the music video, they have the kind of subtitles, the translation. And so it was kind of what we gave originally, but through the translation process, it kind of became this beautiful, like very poetic thing. The lyrics are just like so beautiful and different. But it really is, at the end of the day, it's still about just, you know, just good female empowerment and a catchy melody. So,
Well, that's really awesome. And so that obviously means there'll be a third interview sometime in the future when you're like, okay, so here's my triple platinum. And, you know, I have a Grammy sitting around somewhere, but.
Oh, that's so, well, yeah, I mean, I'll certainly be happy to come on and talk about that.
But I mean, regardless, you know, I'm always happy to catch up. And I think it's like you said, it's all about stories. So, you know, like what you brought to the project, Melissa, and then working with Jay. And you answered my questions for me about the photography, by the way. So you saved me a little bit there because like that, I'm like, I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, okay, so who takes the photographs? There you go. Yeah.
So it's put off there. One person shop.
Yep.
So if people would like to once again find out more about Faces of Long Island, if they are not already tuned in, where can they find you?
Sure. So you can go to facesoflongisland, all one word, .com, and there's a contact button. You can just type in your information or an idea that you might have, or you can DM us directly on our Facebook and Instagram pages. And that's the handle at Faces of Long Island, all one word. And follow us, like it. I would be so thrilled if everyone out there would just take a look. And I know there'll be a story that you'll end up loving because there's just been so many that I personally found incredibly interesting and compelling. So I'm really excited. I hope that your listeners will take a chance and go look it up.
So do I. And like I said, if you were just listening and for whatever reason you didn't catch that or you don't want to, you know, like go back, I was going to say rewind, but that's like showing my age. You know, do people still rewind? I don't know what the term is anymore. If regardless, you can go to, when you go to the Turn the Page website, this will all be there for you to click on and immerse yourself in.
Great. Thank you.
So once again, I want to thank my guests, Jay Max and Melissa Argetta of Newsday's Faces of Long Island Project. And we are going to close this chapter of Turn the Page.
It's time to close this chapter of Turn the Page. Join us for the next episode.